Okay, let's start o over. So thank you again for your patience. So we will be trying to conclude our discussion on why we are here in light of the gospel. Last week we looked at what we need to do to be saved, what you need to do to be saved. We saw absolute requirements for salvation, from our sovereign Yeshua, as he has instructed the prophets that came before him physically, to declare also. So the first one is we need to repent. That is to turn from sin and turn to Elohim. Secondly, we need to believe and confess the good news. Thirdly, we need to get baptized in water and by the Spirit. And the Spirit is the work of Yeshua only. He only can send forth the Spirit, whether directly through himself or through his apostles or his prophets, those who he has ordained to do that. D, I'm sorry, four, this is where we kind of left off last week. We need to be his congregation. We need to be his called out, his called ones. We need to be, or as the Greek says, his ecclesia. We need to be that. In ancient times, he put forth Adam, then Noah, then Abraham, then an entire nation, Israel, through Moses and the prophets. Now, through Yeshua, he has set forth a people that's all over the earth. As our sister was reading in Isaiah, it made reference to all the nations, all that are called, all that he has created for his glory. So we must make our salvation sure by doing. By repenting, by believing and confessing the good news, by getting baptized and by receiving his Spirit and being made one in his hands. Those that are in his hands, those that no one can take out of his hands, no one can take anything them out of his Father's hands, who is greater than all. So we must make sure that we are part of that true congregation, not some organization that you go and fill out a form to fill. No, it's making your salvation sure. It's making sure you are truly saved in your heart, because the Spirit will testify to your spirit if you are His. You will know, because you know how you live, you know how you think. Okay? Make that salvation sure. Make sure that when you judge yourself, when you search yourself out, because we ought to do that as often as we can, but at least every day by the end of the day, we should review ourselves and say and examine, am I, how did I live today? What did I do? What did I think? How did I treat others? What did I need to do? Did I do everything that I needed to do, or did I miss? Did I do some things that I should not have done? So we need to examine ourselves and purify ourselves with the hope of salvation. So we need to make sure we are truly his congregation. Again, not an organization, a man-made organization, not some group that's established by a man claiming to be its leader, its founder. No. There's only one congregation of Elohim, and that's the one Yeshua established long ago, beginning from the first member to the very last member until he returns. No one else is the congregation. I can't say, I can't of my own choice say, I'm a member of the congregation of Elohim. That can only Yeshua can make me a member of the congregation of Elohim. Only Yeshua can make you a member of the congregation of Elohim. Don't get and let me digress. Don't get too sidetracked with the names of the organ of Elohim's group of people. Okay, sometime if you want to say in Hebrew, Kahal Elohim, as our brother Korn, he says Kahal Elohim. Some say Kehilat Elohim, as our brother in Germany. It's all the same thing. We don't. Some might, you know, unknowingly say church, but we don't use that word church. We rather use the word congregation of Elohim. We want to keep it as simple in the English as possible, because this is an English speaking country, and so we use the word the closest word. Some might say assembly, but assembly is really an act. The assembly is what the congregation does at the appointed times. That's what it does. But the congregation is the group, the organization. And that's why in the Hebrew, you know, I'm not a Hebrew expert, but you will see different words in Hebraic words that are translated as congregation. You might see the word kahal. You might see the word mikra, and there are a list of others that I don't remember right now. But there are nuances and differences. So the assembly is what we are doing now. Right now, we are the congregation of Elohim has assembled, and so we are assembling, and we are now an assembly. But as a whole, as an organization, in everything that we do, we are a congregation. When you think of the word Congress, you know, for instance, but we are a congregation, an ecclesia, a kahal. But we must make sure that we are the one that belongs to Yeshua. There are lots of groups out there that might call themselves congregation of Elohim. But the congregation of Elohim is the one whose members are repentant people. They believe and confess the good news. They are baptized in water, and they are baptized in the Spirit or pending baptism in the Spirit, because that's Yeshua's decision, as we talked about before, to decide when. Some people receive the Spirit immediately. Some people receive the Spirit even before they are baptized, as in the case of Cornelius and his family. Some receive it when they're baptized. Some receive it long after they are baptized, as in the case of those who are baptized by Philip, as recorded in the book of Acts. So let's make sure we are that true congregation. Again, as we read last Sabbath, Yeshua said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, you are Kepha, and on this rock I will build my kahal, my congregation, my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, Sheol, shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 18. So another verse says, they were all praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. And that's speaking of the congregation of Elohim. And the Eternal added to the congregation daily those who were being saved. How are they be saved? For the scripture tells us through Yochanan, "For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we are saved as we do, as we believe. That's trust. It's not believing the way the demons do or believing the way Judas did, but it's believing to trust and to have faith in Elohim and his son and his spirit. So that's from Acts chapter 2, verse 47. So we must be careful to assemble, as I mentioned before, regularly with fellow called ones, especially on Elohim's seventh day Sabbath and his annual holy days. As we assemble for prayer, and that is speaking with Elohim, if we don't speak with Elohim, we haven't prayed, no matter what we've said. You understand? We need to actually speak with him. That's what prayer is. That's a study in on its own. So as we assemble for prayer, that is speaking with Elohim, meditating on his creation in his honor for praise and glory, to praise him as we understand and see the wonders, the works of his hand, and study of the scripture, and prayerful meditation. Meditation of what? Deep thinking, understanding, thinking to carefully, unbiasedly. The scriptural meditation is to think through things, think through the scriptures, think through what we're observing in the works of his hand, unbiasedly, sincerely. As we do that, we will learn and grow together by his set-apart spirit in knowledge and obedience in Elohim and Yeshua, the Savior. Now, this heavenly lifestyle will secure our salvation and place in the kingdom of Elohim. What heavenly lifestyle? What we just talked about. Being careful to assemble on the Sabbaths and holy days. Assemble for prayer. Speak to Elohim always, especially when we assemble. Meditate on the works of his hands, or the operation of his hands. We discuss these things on the Sabbath. We haven't really started doing that yet, but we, as he permits, as he grants us under, and we will, because these are some things we should be doing. And the study of the scripture, and prayerful, unbiased meditating, sorting through what it is we are reading, what it is we are hearing, what it is we are experiencing. We will learn and grow together. Okay, that's how that will happen. That's the heavenly lifestyle. So yet Elohim warns us to watch out for individuals and organizations who are trying to stop us, to stop you from connecting with your creator. They deceive by two major things: false religion and false science. We must be very careful about that, because these two things permeate the world, and they creep in the true faith. And we must wash ourselves of false religion and false science. We must clear ourselves of these things. It's so important. Because if we have false religion, and if we're living by false religion and false science, if we don't lose our salvation, we can suffer loss on this side. Blessings that we could have had, the type of faith we should have, we will not have it. Because false science and false religion destroys faith, or hinders it. Because our thinking, our worship, everything is warped by false religions and false science. So we must have true religion and true science. So let's a quick definition of false science. Easy for you to be mindful of, because you never hear Elohim say these things. Neither does his creation. So false religion is any religion that does not connect you to the Creator and does not instruct you on how to gain real faith and power to help you and to help others. If the religion that you're a part of somehow does not allow you, if your the practices haven't allowed you to gain real power, to experience the power of Elohim and to help you and to help you to help others, then be careful about that. Review and see where the problem is. Because the true religion connects you to the Creator, connects you to Elohim, and who gives those connected to him real faith, real power that is evident to all. Remember what we just read in the book of Acts chapter 22? Acts 2 verses 47. It says, and the people were praising Elohim. And they were praising Elohim, and they were having favor with all the people. No one, we should not, some religions make you think that, oh, you're going to be hated by the world and hated by not really. You will have trouble in the world because there are spiritual forces and forces in high places that can make your life hard. But in general, what you should experience is favor from people. You should experience respect from people. I'm telling you the truth. Look through the scriptures. You will see that's always the case with the eternal soul. The people of Elohim are usually troubled by the wicked. That's what happens. But we should not find ourselves in a situation where just everybody we're running into, we have issues. No, most of the time we should see favor from the people around us if we are walking in that lifestyle. But if we're being belligerent, if we're looking to throw everyone in hell or to be harsh and not understanding about those who aren't ready to receive the message. If we're just out there doing what we want and not by the Spirit, then yeah, we will experience a lot of pushback. So we need to make sure we're doing things the right way, the way Elohim, and you will see that you will find favor most of the time with people. So true religion connects us to the Creator who will give us, who give those who are connected with Him real faith, real power that is evident to all. If someone comes and asks you to pray for them earnestly, when you pray, normally your prayer should be answered because those are things Elohim is doing. You know when someone is coming to test just to try to trip you up, or they really need your help. When someone comes to you who really needs your help and asks you to pray, if you are Elohim's, if we are Elohim's servant, we pray for that individual, it will happen. Okay? Or Elohim will teach us what it is we need to do for that individual. Now let's look at science. False science. False science is any so-called, quote-unquote, so-called science that is based on ideas or theories and not proven facts or reality. And that's what our science today especially has become. Everything is based on theory. So someone with a PhD or whatever level of education now throws around his or her clout of education and makes declarations based on his or her imagination and then creates theories to try to justify it. But that's not truth. So these type of, they're based on ideas and theories, not proven facts. That's not true science. You can recognize false science by its use of words like, quote, apparent, possibly, probable, or their equivalent. You see, mankind has limited knowledge, and because of their pride, they try to fill the vast void of knowledge, the vast emptiness, or the lack of knowledge with their own ideas. They can't come to say they don't know. And we see that type of behavior in the so-called churches or congregations, where the leaders must always know everything. They can never say, oh, you know, I don't know about this yet. Let me go pray and search. But they always have to give you an answer. And it's usually theoretical. Or I should say theological. And that's why I don't like theology. I don't like theology. I don't like that word. Because that implies putting a magnifying glass over our Creator. And we can't do that. He reveals His truth to us at His will. And if we're not ready for the truth, he withholds it for our own good. So mankind has this false science because they lack so much knowledge, or they look into things they're not even ready, and they're like neglecting the things that are in front of them that they should know, that they should be managing, such as our present earth, and instead are looking to, quote unquote, with what they call outer space, which is a wonderful, which is a subject that we need to look into. more to get make sure our idea of the creation of what space, the heaven, is the truth and not what we're being told by these theories, because these theories are very wrong. All right, so they try to fill the void with their own ideas, with their imagination. But true science is based on facts. Truth alone, no matter how few that's given to us, that's what true science is based. We don't imagine, we don't proclaim our imagination as science, as truth, which is what's going on. So be careful. Much of what you're seeing about quote-unquote outer space is nothing but for years has been computer-generated drawings. They're not real. They're computer simulations of what they think it is they're looking at. Please be careful with that. And as great as they think they're making it, it pales beyond the true design of the universe, of the world. When you know what the true design of the world is, you will be so amazed. If you give yourself a chance to know what the true design is, it's not what you see, what you've been taught in the public school. It's not. It's really not. So, I know there are other brothers on the line, brothers and sisters, who may know about this or even more about it. And one day we need to talk a little bit about the creation and how things really are. It's just amazing. It's far more complex, far more sensible and provable and experiential. You can experience it. All those theories, you know why they're theories? Because they can't be experienced. But the true creation as described in the scriptures, there's so much about it in the scriptures. Believe me, there's a lot, but people overlook it. You have to put it all together and you'll see how wonderful the creation really is. And it proves that design that you see in the scriptures proves there is a creator. There's no way you can have that arrangement of the cosmos, of the universe, you want to use that word. In that design proves there's a creator. But when you show the other design, oh, we're just a little globe out there floating, you know, they try to diminish our own significance. They try to, of course, not just diminish, erase the knowledge of the Almighty. Because it's just, our world is, as they say, as their theories go, is just, or propaganda goes, our world is just a little ball floating in outer space. I could assure you it's not a little ball floating through outer space. So let's conclude here. So true science is based on facts, no matter how few. So that's really it. So just a quick review to conclude right here. So in our first session, so we had what, four Sabbaths of this. So in the first Sabbath, we saw how we are not alone, and Elohim is the power over all. Supreme, he's the first reality. He is the Rishon, the first, absolute first reality. Not the first Elohim, not the first being. No, he's the first reality. There's nothing that existed, not space, not the universe. Nothing existed prior to Elohim. And his uniquely born son was the firstborn. And through his firstborn and his spirit, the firstborn and the spirit, who are the everlasting arms mentioned in scripture, through them, he created the heavens, the earth, and all they contain. And we saw that he created us to be his family, but our sins and through the infiltration of the evil heavenly powers, we've sinned, but yet he has established a plan in to fulfill his project of making us his family, his divine family. We are to be equal with the angels, to live forever and ever, and to increase in power rather than deteriorate. The adversary, despite all of this, tries to destroy us destroy our faith, try to turn us away, turn all who would turn away from Elohim. But he has sent his son, the anointed savior, to save us by his sacrificial death, by coming in the flesh and dying on our behalf and being raised from the dead and sending forth the holy, his set apart spirit on the day of first fruits. First on the day during the Passover season, and then during Pentecost, made manifest, established the covenant with so many on the day of Pentecost in the third month. So he sent his son to destroy the works of the adversary. And we saw how we need to be saved. We talked about being saved through repentance, through believing the good news and baptism. We talked about the new heavens and the new earth. Why are we here is what we're looking, what we're looking into. Why are we here? For all of these things, to be his family, his divine, immortal family, to enjoy his company, and he enjoying ours forever and ever, doing wonderful new things, things that are not yet. We will experience things that are that we don't know about yet, and we will experience the other things that he is yet to create forever and ever, in joy and peace and unity, with no hate, no evil, no sin, just purity of heart and mind and infinite life. And he will create new heavens and earth, right? And then we are to be careful to make our salvation sure. We must make sure we are united in his hand, that he unites us in his hand, making our salvation sure through our lifestyle of assembling on his appointed times, of living holy lives foremost, being pure without sin, and then assembling together as a pure lump, without malice, without the leaven of malice, of any deceit, but the pure unleavened bread of sincerity of heart. We unite together on his Sabbath days, on his annual holy days. And we assemble to pray, to speak with him, to meditate on the works of his hand, to study and meditate on his scriptures, so we can learn and grow together. And we serve him, and we work to bring others in. We work to bring others and to teach them to do the same thing. And we keep bringing in others, feeding each other, until our master calls us and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So dear brethren, brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. Let's be strong, meditate on these things, search these things out, be grounded in them. Thank you so much for your time. Elohim bless you. And if you have any other questions or comments, we will take them during the sharing time. Okay? Thank you very much, dear brethren. Good Sabbath to you.